I woke up disoriented, angry, and disappointed. Once again, I had failed at something that I had put so much time and effort into. I had planned out the details for almost a year, and while I thought I had a solid plan, I failed at yet another thing. That seemed to be the story of much of my adult life. If you want to get the details and know what that's all about, be sure to keep listening to today's episode of the Your Shining Self Podcast.
You are listening to the Your Shining Self Podcast for women who need messages of hope, love, and transformation. And now, your host, Tish.
She wants women to embrace their inner diva and become driven, inspiring, victorious, and called to action in their day-to-day lives. A wife, mom, and mental health advocate, she teaches women in business how to find the right for them balance between family, life, and work. In 2019, she had a mental health crisis that completely shifted how she embraced both life and business. As she rebuilds her business, her goal is to share her journey with depression and anxiety with others so they do not take the path she did. She is also one of my co-authors in the Get Past Your Shit book, which you can check out over at getpastyourshit.com. You can find her on the web at divaswithapurpose.com. Today, I'm excited to have my guest, Michelle D. Garrett. Michelle, thank you for taking time out to join me.
Yay, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So we are going to just dive right in. And you were one of the co-authors in the Get Past Your Shit book, like I was. So I want to read a little blurb from your chapter in the book. I woke up disoriented, angry, and disappointed. Once again, I had failed at something that I had put so much time and effort into. I had planned out the details for almost a year, and while I thought I had a solid plan, I failed at yet another thing that seemed to be the story of much of my adult life. Talk about a powerful way to open a chapter. Michelle, will you explain to our listeners what that is all about and jump into your story?
Wow. Really, honestly, that is me describing myself waking up in the hospital the morning after I attempted suicide. It was the summer of 2019. And I think what surprises a lot of people, especially my loved ones, when they read that story and we talk about it, is the fact that this was not something that was erratic. It wasn't something that just, you know, kind of happened. It is something that I was intentionally planning and thinking about for an extended period of time. And there are so many factors that went into that moment and that experience. I had depression that was diagnosed after that, obviously, anxiety, childhood traumas that had not been dealt with, adult traumas that had not been dealt with. And it all just kind of came to a head. And my mind had me believing that the world, my family, my loved ones, my friends, my business, everything would be better without me here. And I took the steps to remove myself from this world. I'm so thankful that, of course, I did not succeed. And honestly, living afterwards, it was probably a month or so later, I was in group therapy and the question was asked just like, do I have any regrets? Or in that moment, there was questions that people asked and there's so many things that you're going through. And there was that regret. Like I said in my opening is that I can't even get trying to kill myself right. And to have that type of feeling and emotion and to work through getting past that when you feel as though you failed at everything else, it's a lot. When I tell people I hit bottom, I was below rock bottom. And the journey from there has not been easy. I'm still on that journey. It takes a lot really to get over something as significant as that, especially when you have planned and thought about it for so long. There's a shift and a change in your mindset that you have to completely rebuild. And, you know, those old thoughts try to come back and I have to fight through them. I love the life that I have now. I realized, you know, that I had so many things that I really was taking for granted or didn't, I don't want to say taking for granted. I didn't realize the importance of them and the importance that I had within the lives of course, my family and the significance of my role. And so I see that, you know, when you deal with a suicide attempt, it doesn't just impact the person that tried to take their life. You know, I have had to have very difficult conversations with my children. They have seen and heard things that I wish I could take back, and I can't. And they, you know, my daughter at the time, she was 7 years old when this happened. Wow. My son was 11. And unfortunately, they were not supposed to be home, but they came back home. And so they were there when the ambulance came to take me away. They thought I was asleep. And so there was a lot of distrust from them for a long time. My daughter, she's still very clingy. But in those weeks and months when I first came home, I couldn't take naps. If I slept a little bit too heavily, like there was different medication that I was put on. And there was one in particular that I was given for anxiety, and they didn't tell me that it will cause you to become extremely drowsy. And so I was watching TV with her and fell asleep, and she couldn't wake me up because I was in such a deep sleep from the medication. And so she panicked and called my husband at work, and, you know, he came rushing home. And there's just little things that you wouldn't realize would cause an uproar within your family. We had to get past all of that. We are closer than we've probably ever been within the history of our family, because we do communicate a lot more now. I think my children are a lot more empathetic when it comes to mental health and realizing that we need to take time for ourselves. They understand that if I say, look, I'm feeling overwhelmed right now, just give me a few, they give me those moments. And I do the same for them, because this trauma that I experienced, it started at a young age. And I think for a lot of times growing up, I wasn't allowed to express emotion. It was as though you're a child, you don't know what it's like to be depressed. You don't know what it is like to grieve. I was only really expected to be a child and be happy, because as a child, what do you have to be unhappy about, right?
Yep.
And so acknowledging that and realizing that I need to allow my children to express their emotions as well, I think has helped me to become a better parent. In the end, though, my biggest regret is the fact that they had to witness that whole experience, because I know as a child that has to be very traumatic.
Absolutely. Michelle, thank you so much for sharing that. And I have a question that just came up, but first I want to mm-hmm. say, I'm very thankful that, you know, your attempt at taking your own life did not work and that you are still here, because I think you're amazing and you are doing some amazing things. So the question that came to me, Michelle, was, I know that you said this is in 2019 and you were, you know, diagnosed with depression at that point. Take us back to, you know, during like your childhood or into like your teen years, you know, your early adulthood. Do you remember times that, like, did you ever have depressive episodes as a child? Like, do you remember things like that?
Yeah, I did. And they weren't addressed. I think the first depressive episode I had was when I was in middle school. I lost three very important people in my life with between the seventh and the eighth grade. So I had a cousin that was hit by a car and killed. My great grandmother, who was the only grandmother figure I had on my father's side, she passed away. And then an aunt that I was very close with, she passed away. And this all happened within a year's period. And when it comes to that whole children not being allowed to grieve, the way I was told that they were no longer here and just a expectation that you just go on with your life, I didn't get that. Like, I had all of these emotions and these feelings and no one was talking to me about them. No one, I don't know if it was just they didn't realize just how much it impacted me, but there weren't any conversations about how to grieve, how to go forward. You know, it was just like you go to this funeral and then you get up the next day and you go to school. Everything's supposed to be a-okay. And so I can remember in the eighth grade, I had a friend that I was really, really close with, and she stopped talking to me because I think she had got frustrated because she was trying so hard. And I didn't know how to express how I was feeling, but she was just like, you changed. Like, you don't laugh anymore. You never want to do anything. And I couldn't put a word for it. And I'm thankful for it. I had a teacher, Miss Ann Raines, She taught our Talented and Gifted program, and every single Friday, and this was, if I was in eighth grade, I was 13. I'm in my 40s now. I still remember like vividly every Friday before she dismissed us. She would do this, she'd give us the talk, as we'd call it. And she would tell us that life is like the hands of a clock. And so, you know, you're going to go around the clock. And so you're going to have those different seasons. And there'll be times when you are feeling really, really bad. And that's okay. That was the first time anyone had ever expressed, it's okay not to feel okay to me. And she was like, if you just hold on, time will keep ticking and you will feel better. And every single Friday, without a doubt, she had that conversation. I think that was her way of just pouring into the kids that she was teaching. And that gave me hope during that time period that, okay, if I just keep going forward, keep moving forward, you know, I'll feel okay. And so that was seventh and eighth grade. Ninth grade, I was sexually assaulted. And that just started a whole nother level of trauma. And so I think that's really what started me being depressed and having my anxiety, and it was never treated. And it just kind of manifested and grew throughout the years because I had that untreated trauma that was never really addressed. And I took it into my adulthood and I just kept burying it and, you know, finding different things, so another name for it. And no one ever said, you need help or you need to talk to someone. I remember going at different times and attempting to have conversations with therapists, and it just never seemed to click. I just never could find the right therapist to have those conversations because there just seems to be so many layers to me. And I just got to the point where someone told me once, I had a therapist once tell me that I was just a complicated being. And so I clung to that. I was just like, okay, I'm just complicated. That's why I feel the way that I feel. And I think now finally finding the right therapist and having to unpack all of those years of trauma and distress and sadness and grief, it's a lot. But for the first time since middle school, I'm finally feeling as though I'm able to express myself. I'm able to find words and be in touch with the emotions that I haven't been able to feel throughout my entire adult life, because the majority of my time has been spent kind of covering up those feelings and not knowing or having a word to put to what I was feeling. I can honestly say, like, before all of this happened, I wasn't happy. I would be around friends and, you know, you might see me laughing, but there was always this emptiness within me that I thought was just me having something wrong with me. And it was just the way I was built. And so finally having that validation that, you know, I'm normal for the most part, but that I'm normal. And I just, it's just my mind and my mind and my brain just need some work, some tune up. And I just have to put the work in and the time and the patience. And having people around me that are willing to be patient with me and help me put in the work and allow me to rest and allow me to cry, allow me to be angry, all of those emotions that I didn't feel as though I was able to feel up until this point has helped tremendously.
I love that you touched on, you know, therapy, because I think sometimes, well, mental health in general, there's such a negative stigma around it. You know, I think that's why a lot of people don't open up and share their stories. But, you know, if somebody mentions that, you know, they're going to a therapist or something, at least in my experience, obviously I cannot speak for, you know, everybody, but when I was in therapy, you know, there were a few people that they didn't like come out and say, oh, you know, that's just crazy. And why do you need a therapist? But there are people that tend to look at somebody that's going through therapy as, you know, oh, they're weak and they should be mm-hmm. able to handle their problems themselves. So I really like that you touched on, you know, therapy, because I think that can be a really beneficial and really helpful step for, it doesn't even have to be anxiety and depression, you know, anything that anybody's going through. So Michelle, back to in 2019, after all of this happens, you're diagnosed with the depression and stuff. Have you had conversation with your, I know you've talked about, you know, like your immediate family, like your kids and stuff, But what about like your parents and stuff? Have you had conversation with them after all of that had happened? Have you guys talked about, you know, when you were younger and everything that you were feeling and everything that had happened when you were younger?
I have. And that's one of those things where I know for different people, it works in different ways that sometimes, you know, you have to talk some things out. And my therapist and I have had some really insightful conversations about this. My parents are almost 70. They're both, I think my dad will be 70 this year, and then my mom will be 69 this year. They're very set in their ways.
Yep.
And a lot of the conversations that need to be had, I feel that where I'm at right now, when I have them, they may hear it as though I am accusing them rather than me just saying, I need to express this.
Right.
And I can get that, because there are sometimes when, you know, if there's a tough conversation that needs to be had, and your child is coming to you and saying, you know, like, these things happened, you know, why didn't you do this? Even though I'm saying it in love, you know, emotions can get high, that it's easy to become defensive and feel as though you failed your child. And I can totally understand that. And so what I had in the point that I'm at right now, I decided that peace is better. Yes. And I have peace over a lot of the situations, and I would rather focus on moving forward and enjoying the time and the moments that we have now, especially with, you know, we've had this pandemic and everything. So there was an extended period when I wasn't able to see my parents, and I've forgiven them for the things that they, it's not really that they did something to me. It's that they did not know how to handle that situation.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can't be angry with them, because they parented the best way that they knew how to parent based on how they were parented and how their parents were parented. And they did what they knew what to do. And times have changed so much, and the amount of the types of resources and information that we have now, I'm sure they would have made different choices if all of that happened, you know, they were parenting in this time frame right now. So I'm here, I'm happy. I'm working on getting to be whole, and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. So I'd rather focus on that versus those conversations. And I know there's going to be some folks that disagree with that. And it's just a lot of that goes towards just my overall personality. You know, there's nothing that can be changed at this point in time.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
It makes total sense. And Michelle, I 100% agree with you, because well, as an alcoholic who's been sober for 7 years now, I've had to do a lot of inner work. And, you know, there was a point where I had to make some amends to people that I had hurt in my past. But there was also a point when I'm talking to both my therapist and my sponsor, and there was a couple people that I wanted to make amends to, but it would have made the situation worse, because like you're saying, your parents would feel like you're accusing them of doing something. Similar situation, the people would have taken, you know, me trying to just share where I was at and why I was needing to share with them the things that I needed to share with them. They would have taken it as I'm accusing them of, you know, wrongdoing. So the point that I'm trying to make with that is, I did not personally speak to them to share the things I needed to share. Instead, I wrote letters to them that eventually got burnt. Because sometimes things are better left unsaid than, you know, stirring the pot, so to speak. So I 100% agree with you. Michelle, I want to switch gears now, and I want to focus on, you know, the things that you're doing in your life today, and even in your business. What are you doing to, you know, I know you're like a mental health advocate, and what are you doing to just bring more awareness to those around you that are struggling with depression and anxiety?
Talking about it and yes. Talking about it and having those difficult conversations and sharing my experiences in a way that is, it's healing for me. I'm a writer. I love to write. I love to engage. And so it's helping me to kind of get through a lot of different things, but it's also helping others as well. Cause I've had folks that have reached out to me and just said, you know, I get it. I understand. I didn't realize that other people felt this way or had these different experiences. And that gives me joy. That to me validates me still being here and the importance of me speaking out and talking about my experiences, even though some folks may be like, well, we don't want to talk about that. Because again, when you are talking about depression, when you are talking about anxiety, and especially when you're talking about suicide, it's one of those things that people want to really kind of brush to the side and pretend like it didn't happen. It's like, okay, you're here, you're better. I'm saying that in quotation marks, in air quotes, but you know, why do you have to keep bringing it up? And it's because suicide rates are going up, especially in our children over this past year with COVID, with them having to be at home and just all the different things that they are experiencing. So not only am I speaking on these things from my experience as an adult, but also on my experiences that this is something that started when I was a child, that we need to have those difficult conversations with our children. We need to heal ourselves. For those of us that are parents, we need to focus on healing ourselves so that our children have the opportunity not to grow up with the same hurts and disappointments and self-harm that we do, and shift and change the legacies of our family.
Yes. And Michelle, I think it's so important that you continue talking and talking and talking, because I don't think that, you know, like people that have depression, anxiety, and mental health, I don't think that this is a topic that can ever be talked about enough. I think it needs to be talked about more. And one of the things that I love about, you know, my podcast is it's a platform for women to come and share their stories, because when we are sharing our stories, it's an invitation to those listening and those around us to, you know, to start sharing their stories and to use their voice to share what, you know, they're going through. Because we, like when we share our story, it's an invitation to those around us to be like, oh, hey, I'm not alone. Like, that's why I do what I do. And I love, you know, just having you on here sharing about this, because this is such an important topic. And that was like a totally random thought.
But, I love it though.
Okay.
I love it. And I'm glad you have this platform, because I think you have conversations that we sometimes don't realize we need to have. And they're not spotlighted they're not spotlighted enough. And, you know, we need to shine. We need to, when people hear this, they kind of take offense to it, but there's a reason why we go through the things that we go
Amen.
Through.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, we grow through it. And there's no way that you can tell me that me going through all of that, that I'm supposed to just keep that to myself and just go about my life, you know, as though nothing changed. There's someone out there that is feeling and experiencing the same things that I did. And perhaps they come across a video that I did. Perhaps someone gives them a copy of, you know, our book project. Maybe they'll come across, you know, a post or a blog article or something that I've written, and it gives them a little bit of hope. It gives them a little bit of inspiration to say, okay, I can do this. I can try one more day. Or they pick up that phone and they call for help when they were at the end of their rope. And I just hope that somebody is inspired and encouraged to just make it one more day by listening to my story and saying that, you know what, 2 years ago, because this is August, so I'm trying not to get emotional, but 2 years ago this time, or two years ago, because this is August, this all happened in July of 2019, the thought of being here another day was overwhelming to me. I didn't think anybody needed me. I didn't think anybody would care, would miss me if I wasn't here. And the things that I've experienced over the past 2 years, I mean, if I had succeeded, my children would have had to go through this whole pandemic without their mother. They would have been home by themselves. There have been just different things that have happened in my family that, you know, I would have missed out on. And I realized that me not being here would have been a gaping hole. I spoke to someone whose significant other passed away by his own hand. And after I spoke with her and consoled her, she didn't know my story, but I got off that phone and I bawled my eyes out because I realized that that could have been my husband. And sometimes that's a heavy weight to carry. And it's, again, one of those things that I'm working through with therapy, but that also is what encourages me and motivates me to continue to press forward on those days that depression does rear its ugly head. And for me to be able to reach out and say, I need help. You know, earlier this year, I had a moment where it was just like, I can't do this. I'm overwhelmed. And before I would have kept that to myself. But now, because I have the tools, because of the experiences that I've had, I was able to just reach out and say, I can't do this. I'm overwhelmed. I feel like I just need help. And people just jumped into place to make things easier for me and to say, go ahead and take that break. And before, I always thought that that would have been something that was like a burden to other people, but it's not. If we speak out and say that we need help, those that are around us that truly love and care for us, they will take that time. They will put, you know, go out of their way if they need to, because they want you to be here. They want you to be healthy. They want you to be whole, and they want to just enjoy many, 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 many more days, years, decades with you. Like you, I don't know where all that came from, but that was another random thought that just popped in. So I hope that whoever needed to hear that hears it and just realizes that they're valuable and they're worthy and that someone needs them to continue to hold on.
Absolutely. I love that you shared that. And sometimes those random thoughts are exactly what somebody needs to hear.
Yep.
And I like, you know, when you touched on, you said that you didn't go through all of this to, you know, not share, because I believe like my journey with alcoholism and, you know, being sober and stuff now, I look at it from the point, once a mess, now a message. Mm-hmm. So I believe that if my message can help even just one person, then, oh my gosh, you know, God brought me through all of that alcoholism and all that crap that I had to go through with all that to bring me to be a message of hope, love, and transformation to even just one other person.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, Michelle, this has been such a good conversation. And again, I just think it's something that it needs to be brought to light more and talked about more. If somebody wants to check you out online, how can they connect with you?
My website is divaswithapurpose.com. And if you're on social media, Instagram is my jam. So definitely my handle is DivaMDGarrett over there. And I love connecting. I love, you know, feel free to send a DM, to comment on something, or you know, if there's something that resonates with you, or even if you just want to say, hey, you know, I need help. I've got resources that I can send your way to help. And I hope that something I put out there just encourages and inspires somebody.
Well, I know I have personally found your story very inspirational and inspiring. Mm-hmm. So thank you again for sharing it. And thanks again for taking your time today to join me, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a joy. So I'm so glad that we've connected and that you thought of me to have me on today.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Your Shining Self podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment, and share with others that need a message of hope, love, and transformation.